So, you give me the money. I go in and get myself a ticket to L.A., bring it back, and collect my hash. Close. The changeling handed him a roll of bills secured by a rubber band. But I'm going to keep you company. The hash stays here, in case they have dogs or sniffers. We come back here. You give me the ticket and passport. You keep the change and the hash. I drive you back into town. The changeling pulled into a space close to the waiting area. Okay, up to the driving. I take a cab back. What? You don't trust me? He snorted. Once you have the ticket and passport, I'm more used to you dead than alive. I hadn't thought of that, the changeling said honestly. You must know the criminal mind better than I do. Ask the man who owns one, he said. They got out and walked into the building. It was open air, no walls on the ground floor. There were dozens of people sitting around on plastic chairs, reading or watching television. A group of teenaged boys and girls in traditional garb chattered happily. They would be the song and dance welcome for the flight from the States. The changeling went upstairs to the bar while his accomplice approached the ticket counter. There was no line and only a single agent, making no effort to appear happy or alert. It got a beer and sat near the stairway where it could watch the transaction. It could imagine what would happen stateside if you walked up after midnight and tried to buy an international ticket with 50s and 100s from a thick roll, no luggage. The young woman treated it as if he were buying a loaf of bread, though she looked at his passport. Back at the car, the changeling checked the passport and ticket and handed the black man the keys. You okay to drive? If I go as slowly as you did, yeah. You staying here until the flight? The changeling reached over to the back seat and stuffed a bill into the girl's shirt pocket. Go back to the hash house and don't tell anybody where you've been. I might just go back and get my car and head home. Enough excitement for one night. What if the girl wakes up? The changeling considered. Best just tell her you drop me off at a house in town, and don't come back to the airport tomorrow. That could be awkward. Yeah. I already figured that out. He started the car, then shook his head. This is crazy. Just keep an eye on the mailbox. They exchanged stares for a moment, and the man drove off. The changeling had a few things to do, but there was no rush. The gate didn't open until 12. It went back inside and left passport and wallet in a storage locker, and then set out to find 20 pounds of flesh. In the daytime, it would have been easy. Just go into a supermarket and buy 20 pounds of meat. It didn't want to chance taking someone's dog or piglet, so it had to be the sea. It walked back to the road and headed away from town. Everyone had gone to bed, and clouds covered the stars. Between headlights, the world was black as pitch. The changeling came to a path that led to a stone beach and slipped quietly into the water. There was no need to masquerade as a fish. It just stretched its feet into something resembling swim fins, unhinged its jaws, and made its mouth and throat wide enough to accept a large fish. It glided out to the reef and looked around with nose and skin more than its large eyes. Like a shark, it could sense the change in electric potential that meant a large fish in trouble. That was the meal ticket. It felt the slight tingling and went straight toward it, and came to a reef shark wrestling with a skipjack tuna half its size. The changeling killed the shark with a big bite, severing the notochord, and easily chased down the crippled tuna and ingested it in one gulp. Then it went back and consumed the shark. The two of them had provided plenty of mass. It swam back to the shore, grew feet inside shoes, and walked back toward the airport, a large, white American, and took a cab into town. Bad Billy's was still open. It advertised being the last bar to close in the Western Hemisphere. But the changeling didn't want to attract attention, so it had the cab stop at the first vacant motel, the Club Lodge, where it took a small room and lay thinking for some hours. It hated leaving the artifact, hated leaving Russ, and considered just presenting itself for what it was, obviously from another planet, and possibly related to that impossible machine. But it didn't want to wind up a specimen to be examined, and they could probably infer enough